Well, ladies, just a reminder, or just to let you know, this is the room on caution, hot, on self-control. And so if that's where you want to be, that's where you're at. If that's not where you want to be, feel free to leave now. Please don't leave during the session. It gives me a complex. This is not the one I wanted to hear. Just a reminder as well that after, not this session, but the next session, we will have lunch, and it will be served from the North Auditorium. So we will be making those announcements so that you don't go hungry today. So, okay, let's go ahead and we'll start with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for what we've heard already this morning. A lot to chew over and to think about and put into practice. God, I pray now as we meet this hour, Lord, that you'll help me to say exactly what you once said. God, I pray that in those times when we have lost self-control, Lord, that you'll help us to be spirit-filled so that we can be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We love you. We thank you for every lady that's here and for the work you've done already. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, when I first started studying for this message, well, let me just tell you a story. One time we had a ladies' Bible study luncheon, and we were playing this game, and it was, Mrs. Rasmussen was leading it, and she went around, we were to remember everybody's pet peeve. It was like a, you know how you say, I'm going to go on a trip, and I'm going to bring, my name starts with T, so I'm going to bring a tomahawk. And, you know, you go around and you repeat it. So she did the same thing, except for we were talking, instead of bringing something, we were telling our pet peeves. Well, I was in the middle of the circle, and I thought, well, I don't have any, you know. So I thought, what am I going to say? So the first person went by, and she told her pet peeve about how she hated it when her kids left the cupboard doors open. And I said, I do too. That's my pet peeve. And so then the next person went and they said, oh, I hate it when my kids put their clean clothes back in the dirty clothes hamper. Okay, that really is one of my pet peeves. So I had two now to choose from. And I am serious, as they went around the room, but at the time it got to me, I was so angry at my family that I couldn't even go home after the luncheon. I had to drive around and take care of it with the Lord before I went home. And so I don't really want to talk about what makes us lose control, because I don't want us to dwell on that part. We're going to talk about how we can have control. But I do have a couple of videos to show you that we can look at that shows about being out of control. Don't you love it? Now, I think maybe if that happened to us every time we got out of control, we'd do better. Thank you. look so bad anymore, does it? I don't know. I also heard about a truck driver that had gone to an all-night truck stop to get something to eat. And he went in, ordered his food, and as soon as his food came, in walked in three motorcyclists. And they weren't the CHP kind, they were the rough kind. And so here comes these three motorcyclists, and the one comes over and he takes the hamburger from the hands of the truck driver and takes a bite of it. Then the next biker comes in and he grabs his French fries. And the next biker takes a sip of his coffee. And so the truck driver, he gets up, he goes, and he pays his bill, and he walks out. And the three bikers are going, wow, he's not any kind of a man, is he? Because they were trying to entice him into a fight. And the waitress looked at him and said, well, I don't know what kind of a man he is, but he's not a very good driver. He just ran over three motorcycles out there. Sometimes we just feel like our anger and or the things that we do justified because of how somebody treats us. But it's pretty ugly, wouldn't you say, when we are out of control, when we have yelled at our children or our husband. I was at a grocery store one time, and quite a few times that has happened. Have you ever been in a grocery store or in a mall where somebody has had a fight? And you just look and you think, whoa, you know? But then when we do it, we don't realize that everybody is thinking the same thing about us. So today we're going to talk about self-control. And I like the word temperance because I think when we do what we just saw, that is self-control. That man was totally in control of him, what he was doing. He chose to do that. We want to be spirit-controlled because the Spirit, Holy Spirit, would never do that. And so we're going to talk about temperance. And I'm going to say self-control, but I want you to know in your mind that when I am talking about it, we are talking about being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And it's not a self-disciplined life. See, I'm not a very disciplined person. I want to be, and I try to be. And when I look at other people who, you know, seems like their whole life is in control of everything they say, everything they eat, everything they do, you know, I want to think, oh, they're just so disciplined. So therefore, if I was disciplined, I would be like that. Well, it's not quite like that. And the Bible does tell us to be temperate in all things. So God tells us that we're able to do it. Think of an athlete. I don't know if any of you follow sports, but if you have sons, you probably know a little bit about sports, if nothing else. And so, since I have two boys, I have become a Lakers fan and listen and watch Lakers basketball. Well, there is a basketball player called Ron Artest. Anybody heard that name before? You know his reputation? Yeah. He's known for being obnoxious, out of control, an angry person. But you know what he did a couple years ago? He changed his name. I'm going to give you the beginning. I want you to finish it. Meta World Peace. He wanted to spread peace around. Well, guess what happened this year when he was playing basketball? He elbowed somebody. Guy became unconscious. And he was out. Meta World Peace was out 7 games and missed not the World Series. I'm getting my sports mixed up. Playoffs. and here, he had discipline, doesn't he? I mean, he is disciplined that he has to come to practice, he has to do the drills, you know, they're supposed to be disciplined. But as soon as an athlete has a foul called on him, or somebody does something that they don't like, all of a sudden, what happened to that discipline? It's out the window. Because they're not spirit-filled. And that's what we want to be. Discipline and having self-control obviously are not the same thing. Self-control is this, if you looked it up in the dictionary. It says restraint exercised over one's own impulses, emotions, or desires. And this is what I want you to write down, though, in your notes. This is self-control in the Christian definition. It's governing your life by the power of God. Governing your life by the power of God. It is the controlling power of the will under the operation of the Holy Spirit of God, literally a holding in oneself with a firm hand by the means of the Spirit. And so we want to have our life governed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we're going to have self-control or that temperance. Let me read you some verses in the Bible. If you want to turn there, you can. We're going to turn to three different passages. The first one is in 1 Corinthians 9:27. That one may be in your notes. Paul wrote, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And then Ephesians 5:15 through 21, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." Finish that sentence, ladies. "But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." In Galatians chapter 5, in verses 16 through 25, it says this, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." Have you ever been angry? I'm going to confess my sin here. I have a habit when my children were growing up that when they did something wrong, that I had to explain all of what they did wrong in great detail for a very long time. Did you ever have a mother like that? Oh, don't you hate it? After about 2 minutes, you want to say, "Shut up." I know what you're saying. And I could hear myself. I'd be saying, "Terry, be quiet, be quiet. You've gone too far." They've got it. They know they did wrong. You know, but I want to tell them, "You don't play in the street because," and then a semi could come and hit you. You know, an ambulance could, you know, I give all the scenarios. And I'm telling myself, be quiet. But I keep going sometimes. Now, a couple times God, I was spirit controlled, and God helped me to stop before I went too far. But I would be telling myself, because the spirit is again, the flesh worketh against the Spirit. It says in verse 18, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." So, I mean, we're right up there with all these other terrible sins when we're out of control. It says, "Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And here's the fruit of the Spirit. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." God wants us to be self-controlled. "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So today we're going to look at how we can be Spirit-controlled. Number one, we're going to see the absence of a Spirit-controlled life. Now, we saw some videos, but it's not always that other person. It's us. But it's not new just to our generation. It started way back when Eve, who lacked self-control, took by eating a piece of fruit. Achan lacked self-control when he took of the accursed thing. Cain lacked self-control by letting jealousy control him and killing his brother. Esau lacked self-control by selling his birthright for a bowl of soup or stew. And Moses lacked self-control when he smote the rock instead of speaking to the rock like God had said. David lacked self-control by committing adultery with his neighbor's wife. Peter lacked self-control when he cut off the soldier's ear when Jesus was arrested in Gethsemane. And the prodigal son lacked self-control by spending all of his inheritance. So it's not new to us. It's from the very first human woman. We have seen that self-control is our nature, and we want to get rid of our nature and replace it with the Spirit of God. And the absence of a Spirit-controlled life is pretty ugly. We've seen it in the videos. We've seen it in our life. There was a man and woman going through a very bitter divorce, and the judge finally said, "Look, just we're splitting everything in half. Equally, you'll get half of everything." Well, the woman was so angry. She went home and she got a chainsaw and she went to everything in her house and literally cut it in half. Split it. Okay, you get half the couch, you get half the table, get half of the dishes, you get half of everything. A little bit of out of control. And there are different areas that we can be out of control. We can be out of control in our thought life. We can be out of control in our appetite, in how we spend our time. We can be out of control in the words that we say or what we do with our mouth. We can be out of control in the time that we waste on in TV or Facebook or playing games. We can be out of control that way. Some can be out of control of their spending, their ambitions, their emotions. So when we're talking out of being out of control, it's not just in the area of anger. It could be in different things. Proverbs 25:28 says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." So we can see that the absence of control is not a good thing. Number two, let's look at the attributes of a spirit-filled life. And there's three of them that we saw there in Ephesians. A person who's controlled by the Holy Spirit, someone that's filled by the Holy Spirit, will be joyful. It said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And the fruit of the Spirit told us that one of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit is that we have joy. So that's one of the attributes. If we have no joy, then we're not being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Then we are controlling ourselves. So that's one of the attributes that we should have. Are you joyful when you're at the department store and you're trying to hurry up and get a gift and get to that baby shower or hurry up and get home and get dinner going? And you go and you can't, first of all, you can't find anybody. All the registers are empty, so you're running around trying to find which register is open. And then you get there and there's two people there and you're thinking, yes, you know. And then, you know, you're standing in line and they're still talking and you're still standing and they're still talking and you're still standing. Do you feel your blood pressure going up? Do you feel like you're out of control? The other day I was at Walmart. In fact, I think Mrs. Coates is in here. I was in here with her, and I watched this. We must have both been in a hurry because I was in one line. She was in another line. Then I looked, and she was gone. I thought, oh, see, I got the wrong line. I should have followed her to that line. I went to another line because another lady opened up. Anyway, we were both in there for a very, very long time. And then I was walking out, and I ran into Mrs. Coates. She's still in line. she left that line, went to another line, and so I did make it out before her. So I was a little joyful. No, just teasing. But you can just get so angry. Sometimes I'll sit there and just get so, I can feel in myself that I'm not being filled with the Holy Spirit right then because I'm thinking, what? Why don't, you know, there's 15 registers. Why do they only have two people working? Okay, there's my point, you know. Let's all go pick at Walmart and tell them to. with a smile, with joy in our hearts. Are you joyful when you're in the car and somebody cuts you off? No. What about when somebody's talking bad about you? Or when you're trying to, you know, print something off of your computer and it's not working? You know, we can have joy. We don't need to be controlled by the outward circumstances. Even all those outward circumstances, we can still exhibit joy. What about when your children disobey? What about when somebody else pushes your buttons? We know what those are. But we should even have joy. And joy, we know, is not happiness. I'm not talking about laughing. Oh, my kids are disobeying. That, of course, is not what I'm talking about. But we can still have this, we can still be Christ-like. We can still have the joy of the Lord, even when we're dealing with those situations. And I know that I do have joy when I am filled with the Holy Spirit, because sometimes I have said things when I have been out of control or in anger, and how long do you think I remember that? Forever. It's like it just is a record that can keep playing in my head, and there's no joy there. But when I respond like Christ would have me respond, guess what? I have joy. I'm not wasting time thinking about, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Why did I say that? No, I can keep going on doing what God wants me to do because I responded the right way. I have joy when I don't overspend. And I sit down at the table with my husband and know everything's okay because I did not overspend. I can have joy. So there's going to be joy there doing what we know to do is right in the Spirit. Christian joy is not a thermometer that rises and falls with every circumstance. And a lot of times that's how it is with us as women, you know. Things are going good, we have joy. Things are not going good, we don't have joy. It is a joy that is present regardless of the circumstances. Another attribute along with joy is thankfulness, is to be thankful. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God, unto the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can have joy, we can be thankful. When a circumstance comes in our life, a lot of times I can be thankful, Lord, that it's this circumstance. Even though it's a tough one, I know a lot of people that are going through circumstances that to me are far greater than the one that I'm having to go through. So we can be thankful for the one that he does give us, that we can see God working in our life. When a circumstance comes that I don't necessarily like, I know God's doing something, or God wants to do something. And so I can be thankful for that. And another attribute is, letter C, is to be submissive. Also in Ephesians 5:21, submitting ourselves one to another. And so those are going to be the attributes. When we have joy, when we have thankfulness, and when we're submitting one to another, that's when we know that we're being spirit-controlled, because those things don't come naturally without the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. So we've seen the absence of a spirit-controlled life. We've seen the attributes. So what's the actuality? What is it that is a spirit-controlled life? These are like the facts. Letter A, it's being filled is an issue of control. We often think of fill as like when we fill a glass with iced tea or with milk. We actually fill it up, and then we drink it, and then it's gone again. And that's not really what the Lord is talking about here. And there's three different kinds of meanings. You know how in a dictionary how it lists the different meanings? I'm going to give you three different meanings of this word being controlled by the Spirit. And the first one is, number one, a force that moves. It is to describe like a wind in a sail, of a sailboat. It makes it move. It's like being in on a current. When I was little, we used to live by a little river. And I remember us, my brother and some kids in the neighborhood, in the summer, we'd get on our inner tubes, and we'd lay back, and we didn't know how to steer an inner tube. We just laid there, and wherever the water took us, that's where we went. Sometimes it kept taking us to the side, and we'd have to push back out and go again in that current. And so it's being really submissive, letting the Lord control us wherever he wants us to go. That's the first meaning. The second one is permeation. Did anybody have a cup of coffee this morning? Does anybody drink it? Who doesn't drink it black? Does not drink it black. So you put some sugar and cream in it. Did the sugar and cream just stay on the top? No, you stirred it up so that every sip that you took in that cup had the sugar and the cream and the coffee all mixed together. You wouldn't want it to be all separated. So when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it should permeate us into our whole life so that, you know, everything that we do and say has the sweetness of the Holy Spirit in us, that it permeates everything that we say, everything that we do, everything that we are. That's the kind of filling of the Holy Spirit that we want. We want to be permeated by it. And then the third meaning is to have total control. And that we use that quite a bit when we talk about this verse about being controlled by the Spirit. We say that it's like being drunk with wine, that we're being controlled by the Spirit, that it has control. If someone gets pulled over for drunk driving, do you know what it's the initials DUI? What do they stand for? Driving under the influence, that they're driving that car totally under the influence of the alcohol. If we are being filled with the Holy Spirit, then we are walking, living our life totally under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That's the way that it should be into our life. So we need to be filled. Being filled is an issue of control. Letter B, being filled is not an option. It's a command. God wants each of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He just doesn't say, boy, I want all the older women to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say, no, just the children need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's all of us. We all need the filling of the Holy Spirit. And when God gives us a command, then he gives us the means in which we can follow that command, which we can live out that command. So he is able to do whatever is necessary in our life so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then letter C, being filled is a process. It's, again, it's not like going to the gas station, getting our tanks filled up with gas, and then when they drive up, we have to go back to the Lord and say, okay, you know, Lord, fill me up again. I need your Holy Spirit. So it's not that. It's not just that the Lord can be expended and he can be gone, but it's who is in control of our life. The Lord and the Holy Spirit needs to be in control 24/7, so it's a process. It's us going back maybe every 2 seconds and say, Lord, I need your filling. I need to be controlled by you. I don't want my flesh to get in the way. And so it's not that we have to do it every morning and that's it. For some of us, we have to do it every hour, every half hour, every 5 minutes, whatever it takes. We need to be totally 24/7 being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then number four, it's how do we attain a spirit-filled life? Letter A, we need to die to self. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we need to have that process of dying to ourself. We're not held by sin anymore. Does it mean we're going to be sinless? No. But it means we're not bound by sin. And so we need to allow the Lord to have his spirit work through us. John 12:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much more fruit. So we need to die to self. Letter B, we need to cultivate the disciplines of Bible reading and prayer. And I'm not even going to spend a lot of time here. Mrs. Wilkerson gave us a great lesson this morning on having devotion, spending time in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit fills me as I let the Word of God dwell on me. Listen to Colossians 3:12. It says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye also ye are called into one body, and be thankful. And verse 16 says, let the word of God, or Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And so we need the Word of God to permeate our life. We need to dwell in that. We need to live that out. So we need to spend time with the Lord. We've heard that illustration before. When we squeeze a sponge, whatever is in that sponge is going to come out. The tea bag, whatever is in that tea bag, it's going to come out in hot water. And so when we're squeezed with circumstances and trials, what is inside us is going to come out. It's much better if the God's holy word is in us, and that's what comes out during those times. And so when we talked about getting drunk, being filled with the Spirit, when somebody is getting drunk, it's not something that happens to them, is it? Someone just doesn't walk by a bar and all of a sudden, poof, they're drunk. No. What did they have to do? They had to saturate themselves with alcohol. And ladies, for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to saturate ourselves with the Word of God, 24/7, if we could. Just every opportunity we have to let the Word of God inside of our life so that we can use it and it'll come out during those difficult times. Letter C, we need to yield. We need to say, Lord, take my life. You know, Lord, you be in control. Everything that I do, everything that I say, let it be filtered through you. I want to be Christ-like. We are not our own. I heard of a story about a man. He wanted to take his wife up into one of those airplanes for like a stunt ride in an airplane. And so the pilot was telling him the price, and the man was persistent. He wanted to take his wife up, but he didn't want to pay for it. He wanted, you know, two for the price of one. And so the pilot couldn't get the guy to understand that, you know, he wanted money for both. So finally he said, okay, I'll make a deal with you. If I take you up, and you don't utter one sound during the stunt show, then you can go free. But if you say one word, then you pay double. And so the man said, okay. So him and his wife got in, and the pilot did these, you know, all these little stunts about turning the plane over, making a dive, coming back up, and he was amazed. The wife and the man never said a word. When he kept up, he even scared himself a few times with the stunts that he did, and they never said a word. So finally, he said, okay, I guess I let him go for free. So he landed the plane, and he told the man, he said, I'm just really amazed. He said, you just did a great job of being able to hold your tongue. He said, even I would have screamed out a couple of times. And the man said, you know what? He said, it was hard. He said, in fact, when my wife fell out, he said, I really wanted to say something. Now, that's not the control that we're talking about here. But I do want to talk about an airplane for a second. How many of you remember John F. Kennedy Jr.? Do you remember how he died? He was flying an airplane with his wife and sister-in-law, I think, and it was nighttime. And there's two types of flying. Now, I don't like to fly, but I know there's a visual kind of flying. That's where you look. I was in New York City flying. My family wanted to go around the Statue of Liberty. This was before 9/11, so the planes would go around the Statue of Liberty. We're talking, you know, a three-seater plane. So we had to take two up. So one pilot said, well, we don't take husband and wife up in case that plane goes down, then the kids are left by themselves. Oh, that was comforting. And so I'm glaring because I don't like to fly. So that means now I'm flying by myself. Well, I start bawling, you know. I'm crying. My husband and two kids are in one plane, and I'm in the plane with two kids, and I'm crying. And the pilot leaves. My pilot leaves. And so he comes back about 15 minutes later, and he hands me this baby. I don't even know whose it was. He didn't speak any English. I'm going about, but I remember the little English that he did speak is after we had our headphones on. I had my headphones on. The kids didn't. And he's saying, I need you to help me look for planes above us and below us. Oh, great, I have to help this guy fly the plane. But you know what we were doing? We were flying visually. He wanted to make sure we were going by one of the New York airports, and so we were actually in one of the landing or takeoff paths, and so we had to watch for planes above us and below us. Well, needless to say, we made it back. That's the visual kind. And then there's the instrument kind. That's where you cannot see. That's what John F. Kennedy's plane should have been. He should have been flying by the instruments. And so when the nighttime came, remember he was disoriented, they think, and his plane went into the Atlantic Ocean. And you know, as a Christian, sometimes we want to fly just visually, don't we? You know, okay, this circumstance come, this is how I want to handle it. This is how I want to control it. But the Bible wants us to be under the Holy Spirit's instruction. That's by flying by that instrument panel. We should be flying and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And when we do that, ladies, we're going to be spirit-controlled. And when a circumstance comes and somebody makes us angry, when the kids disobey, you know, when our husband doesn't come home when he says he's going to come home, you know what? We're not going to be out of control. You know what we're going to do? We're going to respond the way Christ does. So let's be spirit-controlled, ladies, not the selfly-controlled ladies that let our emotions and our anger and our flesh control us, but let the Holy Spirit control us. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I pray that each of us in here, we all struggle with the flesh, and all of us at times are going to encounter a time when we want to respond with our flesh. But God, I pray that you'll help each one of us to realize that we want to be permeated by your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we want to be controlled and filled by the Holy Spirit, so that when a circumstance comes that just pushes our button, Lord, that we will respond the way that you would have us respond to. And Lord, you don't ever command us to do anything that you don't enable us to do. And I pray that you'll enable every one of us to stay in your word, and to be guided by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that others will see in us that we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.